bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They
okay, Glenn, together, for real. Come on now. That's why the show goes by so fast, because Dr. Ken has a 30-minute intro. It's the DT takeover. We're not doing that. Hi. What's up, Truth Nation? I'm filling in for Dr. Ken. Look at Tashana. She cracking up. Yeah, come on now. That intro has got to be 10 days. Like, that intro beats Senator Cory Booker's speech the other day, for real. That intro was like 24 hours and 20 minutes long. My goodness, Dr. Ken. Anywho, thank y'all so much for tuning in. It is Fry-yay. Yasir, I think I want to say thank you. He says that, hey, DT, I see you looking like a delicious butterscotch Barbie. Thank you. What do you think, Glenn? Thank you.
That's creepy.
You know what? At the age of almost 50 years old, I appreciate any compliment I get. Thank you, Yasir, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Now, y'all, it's Friday. This is the DT Takeover. You're listening to Dr. Ken, The Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken. He's obviously not here with his whole 50-day intro. I have a very, very, very special live in-studio guest who I love and adore. You know, this is the problem. See, the thing is that now I'm about to ruffle some feathers. Okay. We celebrate the same black folks that have been leaders for 80 years. Now, let me be clear. I love Reverend Al Sharpton. I love Reverend Jesse Jackson. I love all the ancestors. But when you are literally immobile and you still taking pictures on the Selma Bridge, and you got people like you, it's like, what are we doing? Let them folks rest. Let them folks rest. And let our future, not even our future, our existing young, talented executive leaders that are born and raised in Milwaukee. I have none other than DeShonda Williams-Clark. And here's the thing, y'all. This is how amazing she is. Just last year, she was senior VP of programs. Guess what, y'all? She's now chief program officer of Pathfinders. Now, she's here in the studio. We're going to have a great conversation. Then we'll get back to public school. Now, if you are not familiar with Pathfinders in Milwaukee, it is a nonprofit organization that is based here in Milwaukee that is literally, and I mean in the literal sense, of empowering our young people and changing the lives, ensuring that all, and I mean all, each and every one of our young future leaders, our babies, are safe, are healthy, independent, and valued. And so I wanted to make sure that you, as our valued listeners, have access to the mission and vision of this organization. And you may be interested in knowing that it is estimated nearly 12,000 Milwaukee young people experience homelessness. This is ridiculous. Young people experience homelessness each year, and most of these 12,000 young people that are homeless are people of color, and many are members of the LGBTQ+ community. DeShonda, first and foremost, thank you so much for being here. Thank you
for having me.
Anytime, any day, any place. Now, you've got some exciting news to share with us. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get into that, I want to ask you, from your leadership as the chief program officer, what should we as parents, as community members, when it comes to Pathfinders, be really focusing on in terms of supporting and just helping alleviate this pandemic of homelessness with young people?
I think it's important that we as community members see it just as that we're all a part of this community. So whether connected to a nonprofit like Pathfinders or not, we have a responsibility to be listening and elevating the voices of young people and make sure that we're hearing them and what their needs are. When being connected to a place like Pathfinders, you get those type of learning opportunities and experiences to see, because we understand that as we grow, we don't always get the opportunities to learn what it means to have a healthy dialogue or relationship or listen to young people working in a nonprofit or doing social services, you do get that training. You do get that type of you use your experiences in collaboration with, you know, what it means to hear from those young people and know how to really meet their needs. And who better to learn from than the young people themselves? And so young people don't always feel safe being open and honest and transparent about their needs in the community, but at Pathfinders they do. And so it provides an opportunity for other adults to get those experiences as well.
Now, DeShonda, can we get real for a second? Mm-hmm. This is the truth. And one of the things I love about your leadership, and if you have not attended a Pathfinders fundraising event or just even know about Pathfinders, let me tell you, DeShonda is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So let's get truthful here on the truth. Number one, LGBTQ+ community members are still taboo in the Black community.
Yes.
In 2025. That's the first thing. I'm going to put that, yeah. I'm putting that right here.
Okay.
The second thing is that we are now living in a country where the current presidential, the executive branch of our government, mm-hmm. is literally weaponizing members of the LGBTQ+ community, weaponizing mm-hmm. DE&I, weaponizing, if you're not straight, white, and male,
yes.
you are being negatively impacted. So, what does that mean right now in this current temperature with the combination of the taboo that still exists in mm-hmm. our community along with this new administration? How has that impacted Pathfinders, and what do we need to do for those human beings mm-hmm. that want everybody, regardless of whether we agree or not with their lifestyle, to feel a sense of belonging, valued, and definitely not be navigating where they're going to sleep at night?
Yeah, it takes us backwards. I feel like we've made a lot of progress. Still, it's still taboo, you know. So even, you know, before this current administration, we made a lot of progress in providing inclusive and safe spaces for queer folks, folks of color, to be able to say, I need mental wellness support, or I need a place to stay, when historically that's not something you do in those types of groups. It's stigmatized to say that you need help. In Black families, for sure, you can't be going to organizations saying that something's dysfunctional about your family unit or your household. And so when we have the current landscape as is, it's definitely taking us back years, undoing a lot of the progress that we've made to provide safe spaces for specifically youth and young adults who have been historically marginalized and oppressed. People have fought many generations for rights to just be themselves and show up. What is happening is that young people are now going to hide. They're going to feel unsafe. They're more likely to be victimized, criminalized, and harmed. More stereotypes. Feel like they can't talk to adults and probably even system providers, because we have to change the way that we do work. We have to change the language that we're using. We have to be creative in how we're continuing to provide a safe and inclusive space. It's going to impact funding significantly. A lot of funding is non-existent now because of these changes, because of the language changes, and just all of the uncertainty that's coming out of the administration. So it's making it hard for us to do what we've been doing since 1970, which is a really big deal. This year, we are celebrating 15 years of having our drop-in center, which hundreds and thousands of young people in Milwaukee identify as a safe gathering space for them. It's a very inclusive space for all young people, as young as 11, as old as 25. And they're scared. They're scared of what's to come.
Now, DeShonda, let me ask you this, because we're about to get real.
Yeah.
There are a number, and here's the thing, just educate us,
yeah.
okay? Because I've been doing a lot of research on this as well. Young members of LGBTQ+ families, members of the LGBTQ+ communities mm-hmm. that are raised in single parent homes mm-hmm. tend to face more of the homelessness possibilities versus those that come from a two parent household or that have a male father figure mm-hmm. in their life. Is that something that you're seeing here in Milwaukee as well?
We see that in Milwaukee with single family households, but also just a lot of young people they don't have any adult support. That's what they report to us. And so they're saying, you know, I've been experiencing a lot of my livelihood by myself, or with chosen family members. And so when people are crowded in spaces because they feel safer that way, because they don't feel safe, whether in a single family home or with two parents, it could be because, you know, those adults in their lives are still not progressive in the way of saying, like, they accept them for who they are. It could be that they have their own mental wellness issues or substance, you know, abuse issues. Sometimes the adults just are set in their ways. Even as system providers, that can happen where people just have their own opinions versus hearing and listening to young people. And I'll say that over and over again. And I believe that's what makes us so unique and where youth choose us, because it's voluntary. We're not forcing anyone to do anything. We're asking them, what is it that you need and how can we support you with meeting those needs? And they're very basic and they're very immediate. I mean, frankly, you know, people aren't able to make the cost of living. Like, the cost of living keeps increasing. Employment is not paying people the wage that they need. I mean, you hear people all the time talking about, like, how much eggs cost, you know, something as simple as that.
You were in my head.
So when you're talking about single family households is one thing, but we're talking about young people that identify navigating the world by themselves because they just aren't accepted by their families or there's harm there. And this generation, they're not putting up with that's just the way that it is, or that's what our family has always done, or, you know, they're not putting up with that with disrespect. They're taking a stand and taking control over their lives, but we know developmentally that's hard for them. And so I appreciate being able to be in a space where they trust coming to folks like us. But again, with the current landscape, that's going to be hard. I mean, the drop-in center is trying to focus on upstream prevention so that young people can avoid homelessness. And that is new funding and flexible support that has come out over the past couple of years. And now that could be no longer available to them. And so now we're probably going to see more young people experiencing literal homelessness because there's nothing to prevent it with the current landscape of federal funding and all of the uncertainty that's going on. And so that impacts families for generations.
And keep in mind, and if you're just tuning in, thank you so much for tuning in. We are speaking with DeShonda Williams-Clark, the Chief Program Officer of Pathfinders. And we're addressing this homelessness epidemic. Now, I will say this. I'm a parent of a 27-year-old and a 30-year-old. I became a mother at 8. Thank you. I became a mother at 18 and 21.
It's the butterscotch Barbie for me.
I'm going to get a t-shirt. Delicious butterscotch Barbie.
Delicious.
In all seriousness, you know, I came from an upbringing where, you know, if you even suspected that someone was queer,
yeah,
you and them were told, and, you know, we're going to make it go away.
Yeah.
Are you with me, sis? Like, yep. It was, you know, like, we're going to make it go away.
Pray the gay away. That's what it was.
That's not funny, but it is.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what kind of still is for some folks.
But. And, you know, I remember telling my children, look, let me be clear. Mm-hmm. You're my child. Okay? I love who you love. I mean, they're both heterosexual children, mm-hmm. or adults, I should say, my children. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I always made sure, because I was like, it's already hard enough being black.
Yeah.
I can't speak for nobody else's. I can only speak for my lens of being
a
black woman.
And you show up black first.
And you show up black first. Mm-hmm. And to know that we still have adults who are saying, go away. Get out of my house. You're the devil. Mm-hmm. However you feel about homosexuality or a queer lifestyle, I just feel like everybody deserves to. Who am I to judge?
Yeah.
I've always felt that way. And I told my children, I was like, look, whoever you love, I just want you to be happy.
I think that's also why our services are so inclusive, where it doesn't matter what you identify as, because some people can't name or say what their experiences are. And they really shouldn't have to be put in a box or a label. You know, that's all a construct that's just making it harder for people to just exist in the world. And so that's why it's important that we, you know, let young people know at intake when they first come to us, like, anyone's welcomed here. And we'll help you navigate what that means for you so that you don't feel or experience any harm based off your, how you identify, whether it's gender, whether it's sexual attraction or preference. All of those things could be different.
And turn it into violence.
Yes.
We got to take a break. We've got, my sister, boy, from another mister, DeShonda Williams-Clark, Chief Program Officer from Pathfinders. We're going to wrap this up when we come back. But if y'all have any questions or comments, if you are a parent of a member of the LGBTQIA plus community, please call in and take advantage of this incredible leader in our community. 833-212-1017. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken. I am your guest host, DT. This is the DT Takeover. We'll be back.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Karaoke, y'all.
Can't let just anybody else.
You are the one that is.
Shout out to Janet Jackson, one of the greatest of all time. You are listening to The Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris. Glenn, I would let this ride, but you know, this show is like 2 seconds long. You got 20 trillion commercials. You got Dr. Ken, who's trying to, you know, beat Senator Cory Booker's speech record with his intro. So, you know, I'm just trying to maximize the time that we have. This is the DT Takeover. Y'all know I ain't got no sense. DeShonda, I love you. Thank you so much for being here. We've been having a great conversation with DeShonda Williams-Clark, who is the Chief Program Officer of Pathfinders Milwaukee, a nonprofit organization here that is empowering our youth, changing lives, and making sure that all of our young people are safe, healthy, independent, and valued. So as we are wrapping up, DeShonda, off break, we were talking about, you know, with us, with Black folks, you got to just tell us the W's. When, what, where, and why. We just want get to it. Like, let us know what we can do, where we can go. What can we do?
So we're happy to be celebrating 15 years of providing drop-in center services to Milwaukee. And what you can do is go to our website at www.pathfindersmke.org and see how you can help us out. That can be through volunteer service. That can be donating clothes or meals or food. That can be, you know, financially. Like, if you got it, we'll take it. That could be serving meals to young people and just kind of showing up and being a part of our village. We're open 24/7 because we do have a shelter. Our drop-in center is open Monday through Friday. Folks can stop by from 10 to 5.
What's the address?
4200 North Holton Street, Suite 400. If you go all the way down Holton, and it ends with our building. It's a big red building, and you can find us there. And, see how you can be a part of our village.
I love it. DeShonda, thank you so much for gracing us with your incredible presence. Again, I just love you to death. Thank you for all of your work, especially in a climate and environment that holistically is still navigating
all of life skills.
Yeah, you know, I gotta be PC. I want to say something, but I can't say it.
Yes.
Everybody, whether you like it or not, deserves to be loved, to be valued, and definitely have a place to lay their head at night.
Yes.
Especially our youth.
Yes. Especially our youth. They are our future. So we can prevent anything from happening to them as older adults. That saves us all money, time, and effort, and sanity.
Talk, speak, preach. DeShonda, thank you so much again. Will you come back?
I would love to come back.
You're more than welcome anytime.
Thank you.
Please. And let me know whenever you want to come back. We'll make that happen. Again, Pathfinders, DeShonda Williams-Clark, Chief Program Officer. And the address, one more time, where they can go and donate, drop off, whatever. It's
yes, Pathfinders is at 4200 North Holton Street, Suite 400. You can't miss it. All the way down Holton, it's the big red building.
I've been there several times.
Mm-hmm.
I like that building, too.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's really nice.
It's really
all right.
Nice.
Well, wishing you all the success and prosperity that you deserve. Thank you for your leadership, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Love you, sis. Shoo, we up in here making changes. Speaking of which, Gary, call back if you're still listening. I know Gary was like, you had me on hold. I'm going to keep saying this as long as Dr. Ken's intro. Now, we have been talking about the state of Black students in this country when it comes to public education. I just want to remind us. Can I talk to my people for a second? Can I talk to my people for just 1 second? Have we, and this is a question, and I triple dog dare somebody to call in and respond to this question. 833-212-1017. Have we forgot the strength of our community? I feel like we have. Have we forgotten the strength of our, have we forgot how powerful it is for a Black child, a Black student, a Black future leader to see Black educators, Black excellence, Black leadership that did not come from the 1940s, the 1930s, and not just doing it during Black History Month? We are literally sacrificing cultural nourishment. Ooh, I'm about to make y'all mad. For academic prestige. And now we sitting here wondering why our kids are brilliant, smart, gifted and talented, but broken and disconnected. I blame us. And actually, you know what? This is not about blame. This is about healing. We've got to reclaim what has worked for us. Shared values, cultural affirmation. We're letting our identities, we're letting everything that has brought us to where we are today, we're allowing a certain individual, a certain government to tell us that we don't matter. We don't belong. I mean, like, we're literally being erased. The Smithsonian Institute, the National African American History Museum. President Trump right now is saying, no mas. I'm serious. And y'all quiet. 833-212-1017. We know what has worked for us. And when I say us, I mean our community. We know what has worked for us. It's time for us, and I'm talking to the parents, I'm talking to the community leaders, I'm talking to the educators, I ain't talking to the MPS board of directors. Y'all can have a seat. I'm not talking to y'all. Y'all have failed us miserably. I'm not talking to those, I am a product of MPS. I graduated in 1982. We're not talking to those outdated people. Are y'all ready? It is time to stop outsourcing the success of our children to systems that were never designed for us to thrive to begin with. I'm so passionate about this subject. It is time for us to stop outsourcing the success of our babies to systems that were never designed for us to thrive. Come on, y'all. What are we doing? What would it look like? Can I stand up now, Glenn? Because, you know, I like to burn calories while I'm on air. I'll be up in the, that's in a whole nother show, too. I'm so sick of seeing our Black men dying at the age of 50, 55, 60, due to hypertension, stress, poor diet, lack of exercise. Bishop T.D. Jakes in November suffered a massive heart attack. And by the way, I have the utmost respect for Bishop T.D. Jakes. However, he said something that I was like, say what? He said that before the massive heart attack that took place while he was literally on the stage in his church, the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas, where I live. He said before that he had received a clean bill of health. And I'm like, really? Really? We have so much work to do. What would it look like, Truth Nation? And this again, 833-212-1017. What would it look like if we literally pulled all of our resources, all of our talents, and our love, not self-hate, not hating others, because we're literally the only community that will work hard for our money and give it to all the other communities but our own. What if we put all of that together to build schools of excellence rooted in our truth? Want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. What does that look like? What if we did that? This is The Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris. This is your girl, DT. DT Takeover Day, y'all. It's Friday. What would happen if we literally pulled all of our resources together? Because we got a whole bunch. I want to hear from you. Please let me know when we come back.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Yo, after the night, don't leave your girl around me, true player for real. That's my nigga for real.
Usher, baby. Usher. All right, y'all. This is your girl, DT. I am your cousin sub of the day, filling in for Dr. Ken in the afternoon. It's the DT takeover or according to Yasir, I'm totally getting Glenn a t-shirt. Again, Yasir says, hey, DT, I see you looking like a delicious butterscotch Barbie. I'm here for it. I receive it. It's a compliment. But again, I am DT, your cousin sub of the day. Did I do a good job, Glenn? Was that? Because you know I work for you, Glenn. You're the producer.
You don't work for me.
I do. All right. You know, Gary has been so patient. Let's go to our Truth Talking text line, 833-212-1017. We've been talking about the state of public education in our country, in particular here in the city of Milwaukee. Gary, thank you, brother. What is your question or comment? You are live with DT.
Hey, first of all, thank you for taking my call. I called earlier and I was asked to call back because of the guest. So
thank
what
you.
I was going to say earlier, I want to combine two things. What I was going to say earlier is talk about myself, my growing up. My mom and dad, neither one of them graduated from high school, right? But for me and my three brothers, the most important thing was getting an education. No more than a high school diploma, but that was a requirement, right? When we started kindergarten, I knew how to spell my first name. I knew the alphabet. I could count to 10, right? So my question is, what has changed? What has changed? And I'm gonna just be totally honest and open. I'm a retired Milwaukee Public Schools principal. I retired from the military, came back home and saw the state of my city, which was totally different from the time I left and joined the military and came home. And so I went into education because I wanted to make a difference, right? And so my first question is, what has changed? And if things have changed, why have they changed? And then, so I want to talk about your last question. I just want to answer that. And I say, if we want schools of excellence, parents have to be invested. Parents have to be required to participate in the lives of their students by participating in all parent-teacher conferences, open houses. Parents are required to volunteer in at least 3 school programs or events each school year. Parents have to be invested.
Yes. Well, Gary, I'll say this to you. And I honestly, because I'm becoming this person where I said what I said. What happened is that in terms of Black parents, we were conditioned to believe that as far as better education goes, we literally marched our babies into schools that were never intended to affirm our brilliance. We traded. Oh, y'all gonna be mad at me. I'm gonna go ahead and say it, though. We traded and we continue to trade Black excellence for white acceptance. Yeah, I said it. We have traded, because I know another one of our valued listeners had asked me on the YouTube message board, and you can stream and watch me live, what's the difference between Black Power and Black Excellence? I don't really see a difference, but I will tell you this. When it comes to Black Excellence, we'd rather have white acceptance more so than Black Excellence.
Interesting. That's an interesting take. Let me say this, and I'll hang up.
Take your time, brother.
I've said this numerous times.
Take your time.
I've said this numerous times, listen to these Republicans talking about, you know, what is it that they, in Florida, that they always talk about pulling the black books and all of that out of the schools. I can't think of the term they use for it. But, you know, when I was raised, we were taught that Christopher Columbus discovered America. George Washington cut down. You know what I'm saying?
Abraham, so we were indoctrinated. I got one for you. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves.
There you go.
Huh?
So yeah. I remember watching TV with my mom and dad and cheering on John Wayne as he murdered all these, you know, these Native Americans. And we sat there and we cheered this stuff on. We were indoctrinated so bad.
I got another one for you, Gary. How about this? Because you can see I'm very passionate about this because I'm a product of the same hypocrisy. And in full transparency, Gary, I'm guilty because I did the same thing with my kids. We said when it came to the integration of public schools, we said that we wanted our children to be included. And we're still saying that now. But here's the problem. We never asked what they'd have to give up to fit in, Gary. You didn't get asked. I didn't get asked. All these black kids that are constantly being forced to go into schools that don't want them in the first place. Yeah, we want to have what the white people have. We do it today. Oh, white people drive a Mercedes? Well, then I want a Mercedes. White people do this? I want to do what white people do. Because that's how we associate acceptance. But we've never asked. We've never considered or we've never conditioned ourselves and our babies to get real with what they would have to give up to fit in. And a lot of us to this day do it. Like the hair, the weaves. Yeah. But Gary, thank you for calling in. You know I could talk to you about this until midnight. I've got some other callers. Gary, go ahead.
Let me say this real quick. Let me say this. So we associate that with success.
Yes.
And I remember being during desegregation. I remember being bused out to, I don't know what the school was, Claire Barton or whatever it was, from Green Bay Avenue. And even though we were out at the school, we never interacted with the white students at that school. We did recess separately. We went to the cafeteria separately. We never interacted with those white kids at that school. We were still separate. We were at the school. We were in the building, but we were always still separate.
And Gary, that's what we call
did whatever and got on the bus and came back.
That's what we call a check in the box. Thank you so much, Gary. I'm sorry, I got to go to our next caller. Now, Glenn, is this... Gary was dropping bombs too, and thank you for your transparency as a former MPS educator or principal. Is it Dasha? Deshae? Deja. Deja, thank you so much for your patience. You are live with DT, Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken. What is your question or comment?
Okay, so I've been listening for like the past like hour and a half possibly, and I'm going to first say this. I am a graduate of MPS as well. And I probably am the youngest person to be speaking right now because after everyone else I heard, I feel like I'm probably the youngest one speaking now. Honestly, when you had said what is it going to look like when we draw back our talent and like our resources as black people and put them within our community? And to that, I have to say, honestly, it's going to look like what God intended to look like in the first place. I personally feel like we've gotten away from the idea of loving ourselves as we love our neighbors.
Mm.
And with that being said, when we don't love ourselves, well, how are we going to love our neighbors? How are we going to pour that love back into our community if we're not doing that within ourselves, you know? And that's not even saying to be selfish, but what that's saying is treat somebody how you would treat yourself.
Mm.
You know, if you're taking a job in education, then your job is to educate. You know, you're supposed to be, you are in a position to help the next generation, basically. And I work in a school. So I see what's going on nowadays, and I do feel like it's definitely in everybody's thing. Everybody's hand has been in the cookie jar, basically. And it's like the parents, what are you doing at home to help your student be successful? Teachers, are y'all there just to get paid? Are you there to actually help students succeed? You know, like, what are we, what are your intentions? Like, what are we really thinking about when we're doing these things? Because at the end of the day, the next generation is going to come in and they're a product of what the last generation was.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So it's, to me, it's like we've lost a lot of love. There is no, I don't know what happened to the love. I feel like I can't even go to the next door neighbor's house and ask them for a cup of sugar no more. Mm. They're going to think something, I'm going to do something, basically. Like, that's sad. I don't know what's going on with this this day and age, basically. But if I'm being honest, I want to take it back to the Bible. We're in the times. We're in those times, basically.
Yes.
And unfortunately, with that being said, a lot of love has been drained out of this world. And there are a lot of people who have tried to keep up that love, but unfortunately have also became weak because of, you know, all the oppression, all the hate. And I'm going to say, honestly, because the devil going to and fro on this earth. Seriously.
Well, thank
and
you.
And he is doing his job, and it's sad.
It is. And, you know, thank you so much for your call. I just want to piggyback off of what you said. And to all of our non-Black listeners, because I know this sometimes is uncomfortable, and it's not my job to make you comfortable, because sometimes you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And the town I see you, I'm coming right to you. Black people in this country have focused so much on close proximity to whiteness. And if I'm making you mad, look in the mirror. If you, like, look at it, like, okay, let's keep it real. I'm not a natural blonde. I see all of us, you know, with these straight, you know, European hair-like weaves. We have become, I wouldn't even say become. It's like we, in order to feel as though we've made it, it's this close proximity to whiteness that we have to demonstrate. We're always focused on that. And we forgot in the meantime to build schools that reflect our values, our culture. And to the sister who just called in, is it Daisha? Deshae? Our kids' realities. Your reality in 1985 ain't the same reality for Deja who just called in 2025. So stop. The town, thank you so much for holding. You are live with DT. What is your question or comment?
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I was up last night, and I was watching a news network or whatever like that. It's local, though. And I came up with some wild stuff. Like, you know, like our Trump is knocking out all the government jobs, right? Now, one of those jobs is the CDC. And don't you know that he fired the same people from the CDC that was supposed to go and check for the NPS schools, in particular?
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that today. I sure did, the town. I saw that. Yeah.
Ain't that wild?
It's the world.
Now,
that, yeah.
If I'm not to cut you off, but like, this is so important because, you know, when I came here from Chicago a while back here, like in the 80s, right? Golden Meir is the special talented school. It's where we send our best kids to Golden Meir. A good friend of mine that taught me how to play chess got his education from Golden Meir, you know? And that's how, you know what I'm saying, that's our best and brightest, and that's how they treat them. Like, I don't want to go into politics too heavy, but, like, people be going with other people, and right is right, and wrong is wrong, man. So we got to call these people out, man, and need some help, because, like, that's the best and brightest for our students, and then they need all the help that's possible.
Absolutely.
That's all I got to say. That's my time.
No, the town, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Now, look. Don't get me wrong, Truth Nation. Okay, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that we shouldn't want the best for our children. But sometimes in our quest, in our journey for the best, which is what we deserve, because anytime somebody sees or hears me speak, I always say to anybody, regardless of race, ethnicity, nationality, gender, sexual orientation, religion, you deserve the best. We only got one life. But as Black folks, we have overlooked the power of being educated in environments of shared struggle, shared cultural, and shared dreams. We cannot expect non-Black people or white people to already have that ready for us when we walk into their schools. Period. So it's like we're ignoring the legacy, the village mentality, and the kind of teachers who, quite frankly, when they see your child acting out, they don't send them to the principal's office. They don't suspend them. They say, what's going on? What do you need? All right. I'm getting
one call. That's all.
All right, Truth Nation. See, this is why I need a podcast. Truth Nation, now is your chance to be our one call. That's all. Gruber 5K giveaway entry for the day. Yes, you can be entered to win $5,000 courtesy of Gruber Law Offices. Be caller number 5 right now. Be caller number 5 at 833-212-1017, and you're going to be entered in to win the $5,000 giveaway with the award-winning 101.7 The Truth and Gruber Law Offices. Again, that is caller number 5 right now at 833-212. Oh, now y'all want to call. Ain't y'all about, boy, I tell you. 833-212. I'm just playing. 101.7. 101.7. Remember, if you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, contact Gruber Law Offices today. Visit them at gruber-law.com. For official contest rules, visit 101.7thetruth.com. Let me say that again. For official contest rules, visit 101.7thetruth.com. We'll be back.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Yeah, that is so Dr. Ken music. We're coming to you live with smooth jazz from 1952. This is Dr. I'm just playing. Truth Nation, thank you so much for allowing me to host as Dr. Ken was on assignment. I am so honored and humbled by all of the engagement, reception. I love y'all so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you again. The YouTube message board was on fire today. The talk and text line. This is why we do what we do here at The Truth. We do this for you. You are the best. You deserve the best. And only accept the best. And that's all I want for you, for me, and everybody in this world. Not really a city girl says come back soon. I'm working on it. Thank you again so much. I love y'all. I'm actually, Dr. Ken and I, we co-host The Truth Unfiltered, which broadcasts here on The Truth every Monday evening from 7, I believe, 6 to 8 or 7 to 9. That's a shame. I don't even know when they broadcast my own show. Isn't that terrible? But you know, I'm human. All right, y'all, make it a great weekend. I love you so, so very much. Tell somebody you love them. And look, we're going to be all right, y'all. We've been through change, adversity before. This is not new to us. Remember who you serve. Remember, we are a village, and we going to be all right. I love you. Stay locked in. This is 101.7 The Truth, Milwaukee Black Talk. Peace out.